Okay, well, let's kick off our time with a word of prayer. That is our theme today. We'll be talking a lot about prayer. We already have talked a lot about prayer. We're going to talk some more about it. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this gathering here today. Lord, the way you brought everybody here from different places, from different lives. Lord, thank you for how you have given us a time where we can fellowship together and encourage each other and point each other towards you, towards the hope that is in you, Jesus, the hope that you secured on the cross. Thank you that we can encourage each other, Lord, that we have the ability to do that, that you actually use sinful, broken people like us to share your love with one another and with others around the world. I just thank you so much for that, Lord. It is such a privilege. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to be in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Now, some of you guys know already, some of you might not, that my job, I get to work with kids all week. I get to tell kids all week about Jesus, about who he is and what he's done. And one of the things I do probably 4 or 5 times every week. One question I ask almost every week, and over the years I've probably done it hundreds, if not thousands of times, is what can we pray for you with the kids? Now, just by way of raising your hands, who here has spent a lot of time asking kids for prayer requests? Whether that's in Sunday school or in kids ministry in general. So, if you spend a lot of time asking kids, what can I pray for you? You're going to be praying for a lot of animals that have died. I just want you to know that. Whether it's a dog or a guinea pig or something like this. You get to know a lot about what's going on in a kid's family when you ask about what you can be praying for with them. You get to hear about what's going on with them emotionally. Because the reality is for... You know, kids will pray about toys, they'll pray about their pets, they'll pray about their family, they'll pray about a lot of different things, but it comes down to it, they're asking you to pray for them. Whether it's they're hurting because they lost something, they're happy because something really exciting is going on in their lives, or maybe there's even something hard going on in their family, and you need to be praying for their family. And every single week I get the privilege of hearing that from kids, and it's almost like you get to see boiled down just what do we human, why is prayer important for us, right? Because prayer gets a little more complicated the older we get, right? When we're praying, there's temptations to go, the temptation to, if you're praying in a group, for example, to try and sound holy, you know, just, your prayer is to sound holy, to sound, you know, to layer on word after word after word and kind of overcomplicate it. That can be a temptation sometimes. And when we're praying alone, it's really easy to get distracted, and it can be challenging in that way. It's more complicated the older you get, but at the same time, it all boils down to the same things. And so let's take some time and look at what James has to say about prayer, its power, what do we need to be praying for, all these things. So, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months. It did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So there's a lot to unpack there. There's a whole lot to unpack there. But there are 6 things that we're being told here that we need to be praying about. And they're different things, different kinds of prayer. We need to be praying when we are suffering. That could be a physical suffering. I know that we all have to deal with that in our lives, and there are different stages of life where you have to deal with that more than others. When we're cheerful, when we have something to be thankful for, we need to pray. Again, this is a need, not an optional thing. I know with praise, sometimes we treat that like it's an optional thing, but it's not. We need to be thankful to the Lord because it's He's doing beautiful things in our lives. We need to pray when we are sick. So specifically, we are dealing with physical sickness. And we need to ask other people to pray for us, too. Sometimes we're not an island. We need other people to be praying for us. Specifically, in this case, it's talking about our leaders in the church, the elders. We need to ask for prayer from them. For spiritual strength for one another, we need to confess our sins to each other and ask and pray about that. Pray for forgiveness. Ask others to pray for our spiritual strength, because the truth is that we are all sinners. None of us can do this without the power of Christ. And lastly, we need to pray for miracles when a miracle is warranted, as in the case of Elijah. So I'll put those all up there for you guys. For suffering, when we're cheerful, when we're dealing with sickness, sin, when we need spiritual strength, we need to confess our sins, we need forgiveness, and when we need an actual miracle. In my life, I can see examples of times when I've needed to pray for all these things. All right, there have been, every day I pray for spiritual strength because I'm so weak. And I know that's true for all of us. We are so weak when it comes to the temptation to sin. And the enemy is always coming at us from a lot of different ways. And you know, I can think of times when I've just cried out to the Lord in suffering, with the times that I've been sick. Not as much, I think, as most folks. I've been blessed in that way. But at the same time, there have been times we need that. Even miracles, I've had to ask the Lord to do that. You know, some of you guys know that we've had a lot of strife in this community around here. We've had a lot of different problems. And at one point, there was a man assaulting a lady right out front of the church here. Had to intervene in that situation. And the Lord stopped that person. You had to deal with the situation, the police were coming, this kind of thing. And I prayed, I asked God, would you stop what's going on? And the dude literally froze in his tracks and started talking to me about Jesus, right? So there are times in our lives we need to pray for a miracle. Because I don't know if you guys have dealt with very many crazy people, but that's not a normal response when you're dealing with that. That was a miracle. And the truth of this passage is revealed throughout the entirety of Scripture. Now, if you guys have the notes that I gave out earlier, we are not going to be getting super, super deep into all these other passages, but I wanted to take a little time to look at how God's Word throughout time illustrates the truths of what James is saying here. And I think it would be really, really good for us. And actually, before we move on to the next part here, I wanted to say, too, there's a few things I think that need clarification in this. So, when it talks about in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. So it's easy to misunderstand that. It is, the Bible is not saying that you can only pray for people who have faith, and prayer is only effective when you're praying for somebody who has faith. It's saying that God demands faith of the people who are praying for a person, whether they're Christian or not. And so you can absolutely pray for somebody who does not know Jesus and ask him to heal them, to heal their sickness. And you should pray for them. And of course you should pray for their spiritual well-being if they don't know the Lord. Second, I wanted to clarify that when it talks about the prayer of a righteous person. So a righteous person is somebody who upholds God's laws. That does not mean they're perfect. Right, there are examples of people being called righteous throughout Scripture that absolutely sin at different times. But somebody who has truly given their life to the Lord, is truly seeking the Lord, and seeking to uphold His commandments. So to be clear, because it's true that none is righteous. None is righteous, no, not one. Right? That is the truth. This is specifically referring to somebody who is following the Lord. So I just wanted to clarify that. But if you turn with me, let's look at what Jesus told us directly, how he told us that we ought to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So Jesus, in this passage, he is showing us how to pray. There we go. That we need to pray reverently. Now to pray, as this is especially important for the kids, to pray with reverence means to treat every time you pray, every time you talk to God, you should take time and imagine like you're standing in front of a powerful king, right? You're standing in his throne room. So for kids in the room, would that be scary, standing in front of a king? You guys think? Yeah, that would be really scary. But what if he was a good king? Would it still be kind of scary, even if you knew he was nice? Yeah, it'd still be kind of scary. And so when we talk about being reverent, we're talking about treating God like he is king of the entire universe, which he is. That's what we're talking about. So we need to be reverent. That's why the prayer starts out with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Second, we need to pray simply. I kind of referenced this earlier, but don't pray like the Gentiles that think that they'll be heard for their many words. I know I've been, I think, guilty of doing that sometimes, going on and on and on when it's, you know, God knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows that we don't need to, there's no mysteries with God at all. We don't need to draw it out or anything. I think sometimes when we do that, it's almost like we're trying to pray to the people around us, and that's really not what we should be doing. You know, God knows what we're going to say before we say it, and we should pray like that too. And we should pray with humility, humbling ourselves before God. Because the reality is that he is the king of the universe. And he's the one that provides our sustenance physically. He is the one who provides salvation for us and life spiritually. The truth is that we all sin in many different ways, and we need his strength to reject the enemy. We need his strength. We can't do that on our own. And we're being tempted all the time, and we fail all the time, but we need his strength to say no, because the truth is, if you've put your faith in Christ, you can say no to sin. But you need to call on the name of Jesus. You need to humble yourself and do that. And I say you, but I'm also talking about me, right? The truth is, we all need to do this. And so Jesus, he modeled for us what prayer looks like. That's the Lord's Prayer. And when we're talking about James chapter 5, we're talking about what's being said here, I think it would also be helpful for us to acknowledge what's being said in the last few verses, where it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. That is a literal, tangible example of God answering a prayer, a faithful prayer, miraculously. But let's look at another one. here from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. And this is the story of Tabitha, or as she was also known as Dorcas, and what God did in her life. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and outer garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise," and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. So, not only is prayer important in our daily lives, not only is it Jesus modeled it for us, it's also powerful. Prayer is powerful. God, I should say, it's almost more accurate to say, God is powerful and he works through prayer. It's not that the power has absolutely nothing to do with Christians, with those people, and everything to do with what God is doing. And God exercises his power with purpose. He has a purpose in every single thing that he does. God did not raise Dorcas just for fun, right? This wasn't the same way that Jesus didn't do his miracles to show off. Right? Every single thing that God does has a purpose. In this case, that purpose was to spread the gospel so that people in that city would believe. That was one of the ways, that there's a reason why there's so many accounts of the apostles. All right, let's see if it's still working okay. There's a reason there were so many miracles. You can see so many examples of miracles in the early church. It's because the gospel was spreading like wildfire. And God was doing that and still does that with purpose and intention. And so we can see that when Christians pray faithfully, miracles really can happen. In this case, an entire community was changed. And even something amazing as a dead person coming back to life can happen. When we trust in the Lord, pray the righteous intention, the Lord can absolutely do the impossible, and does do the impossible, even today. So third, as we're talking about this in James, I wanted to look at what it says in the book of 1 Timothy, because we know how we should pray. We know that prayer is powerful. Now let's talk about who should we be praying for as Christians. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says this. Yeah. Here we go. In chapter 2, and actually it's a bit of a typo there. We're not going through verse 15, but I think it's just to verse 6 here. So first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there was one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So who are we supposed to pray for? We are supposed to pray for our leaders. We are supposed to pray for peace. And we are supposed to pray for the salvation of everybody around us. Those are the things that we ought to be lifting up to the Lord. You know, the truth is that You know, this passage isn't telling us that we have to like our leaders. It's not telling us that at all. It's not telling us that all of our times are going to be peaceful. You know, on the contrary, Jesus promised us that we would go through persecution, that we would experience suffering as Christians, but we should still pray for peace. All right? We don't want destruction. We don't want chaos. I mean, all of us living in Portland have gone through enough of that the past couple of years. I think we're all pretty done with that. And so we should pray for peace. And just because we don't always have the leaders that we like necessarily, that doesn't mean we can't pray for them and lift them up to the Lord. And most importantly, we need to keep our eyes set on the Great Commission. We have to remember what Jesus promised us, or told us to do, commanded us to do. To go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them. I just messed it up. I gotta go there now. Matthew chapter 28. I was gonna quote it, but then I think I just lost my train there. So Matthew chapter 28, real quick. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." It is so important in our prayer lives that we're looking outside of ourselves. Like, we should be praying for the things going on in our lives, but we need to also look outside of ourselves and pray for our country, pray for our leaders, the people in our city, in our area. We need to pray for peace in our country and elsewhere. Pray for peace. And we need to be thinking about our neighbors, thinking about the people around us, and praying and looking for opportunities to lead them to Jesus Christ too. Because ultimately, we won't see change in people unless Jesus changes people. That is what God's word tells us, is that he changes people's nature, not us. We can't do that. It doesn't matter how nice we are. It doesn't matter how much we give. If somebody doesn't know Christ, they aren't going to have that real life change. And so we need to be praying for, looking for, and expecting Jesus to do that work. And so I want to end with just an encouragement for you guys. Whether you are somebody who has been a Christian for a really, really long time, or whether you're a young new believer, or maybe even if you don't know Jesus, and you're considering that. God's word, what it says about prayer, is 100% true. I have seen God answer every single kind of prayer that he promises he'll answer. It's real, it's true. All that's required of you is to take a literal leap of faith. I know that expression is used a lot, but take an actual leap of faith and trust God's word for what it says, that when you are in pain and suffering, when you see chaos around you, or maybe when you feel hopeless and lost, cry out to him. Cry out to Jesus and ask him for help. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus, you can do that right now. You can do that today. We're going to take some time to pray. And you can ask him to take away your guilt, to take away your shame. And if you already know him, you can pray about the things in your life that are taking away your peace, that are distracting you from the good things that God has for you in your life, and pray for your neighbors as well. And don't just pray for your neighbors, but reach out to them, right? We're not supposed to just be hearers of God's word. We already learned that in James, but we need to be doers also. And so look for opportunities to share the hope and love of Jesus with somebody this week. And yeah, so let's take some time to pray. I think I'll start out, just let you pray on your own quietly for a minute, and then I'll close our time out. Father, thank you so much for being a God who answers our prayers. Thank you for listening to us, for letting us into your throne room, for letting us come and speak to you and bring our petitions to you. Thank you so much for caring for us and loving us even while we are still sinners. Most important, Lord, thank you for dying for us. I pray, Lord, for this church, that each and every person here today would share some of the light and the hope that is in you with other people around them, whether that's neighbors or friends or family. I pray that they would share that this week. We do pray, Lord, for our leaders, for the leaders in our cities and city and for our state, for our country. I pray, Lord, that you would bring wise leaders into power in this country, that we would see some healing and a restoration of peace. Lord, I pray especially for the greater Portland area, as we just have we've been through so much chaos. And I just ask that your hand would be over this city. And I pray especially that that change would come through a spiritual revival, that we would see not just hundreds, but thousands of people turn to you, that they would see the error of rejecting you and living a worldly life, and that we would really see peace in our city and in our country. So I just, and in the world, Lord, we know the world is full of chaos, and we just ask for your hand in this. And I pray that you would help strengthen and equip us and protect us from the enemy as each of us goes out this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.